over. And this morning, God's going to restore our confidence in Him again to conquer. Let's read together. So let me just give context. So Israel is on this side of the Jordan. They have to go over to take Jericho. And before that happens, Moses dies. So Moses says, God, can I please go into the promised land? Then God said, no, Moses. If you read Deuteronomy, just the chapters preceding Joshua 1, God takes Moses up in a mountain and shows him there. There's the promised land. You can see it, but you will not go over. And then Moses dies, but it's an interesting funeral. They can't find his body. He's gone. So the Israelites, they mourn. They see him go up the mountain and then he never comes down again. Not even Joshua is allowed, you know, to go with him. So now I can imagine this legend of a man. I mean, he was a legend. The earth ate up people because of him. 16,000 people dropped dead, and he said to Aaron, run and stand between the living and the dead. I mean, just imagine 16,000. I can't remember the specific number. People just start falling dead. His own sister turned leprous because she challenged his authority. And let's talk about the 10 plagues in the Red Sea. So now the legend's gone. He's not there anymore. And Jude makes an interesting comment right at the end. Jude is the book just before Revelations, just before maps. We get maps. But Jude makes an interesting comment. Jude says that, and this is the only man Scripture speaks of in this way, Satan and Gabriel actually had a brawl over Moses' body. Go read it. They had a fight over his body. Maybe I should read it because maybe people don't believe me. I don't want to take up too much time, you know, but it's just so beautiful. Where are we now? Now I want to remind you, Egypt, darkness, Sodom and Gomorrah. It was Michael. Yet in like manner, these people also relying on their dreams defile the flesh, reject authority. But when Archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing over the body of Moses. So now you can imagine. I mean, this man's a true legend. when the devil and an angel fights over your body, I think you're important. You would agree with me. You're very important. So, what's Joshua chapter 1? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. We're going to start there. It's a conversation God's having. It's a conversation about courage. But I want you to see, God is not in a panic because Moses is dead. When a man of God dies, nothing of God dies. When a man of God moves on, nothing of God stops doing what he needs to do. You see, now, therefore, arise. Now, therefore, arise. In other words, God is a God of the now. He deals with the Israelites, with Israel's emotions because of Moses' death. But at the same time as he's dealing with their emotions, he's also telling them to go over through Joshua. God's a God of the now. God doesn't go into panic. Moses is dead. You know, what are we going to do? You know, tomorrow, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years time, I move on. What we're doing in the UK is not unique. There's a lot of mighty men and women of God that have done what they had to do before us. We just build on what they do. And it's important that we do say that to each other. But then God says, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. And to be courageous, we've got to have respect for what God's saying here. When my family arrived here, when we arrived here, Ian and David picked us up with two cars. And the congregation helped us in terms of what we needed for our home. But you know, for the rest of the UK, they didn't send cheerleaders to the airport. They're here. Receive the gospel. We still have to go take the land. We still have to go arise and go take this land. It's not going to be easy. You need courage to do it. God's saying to Joshua, one guy is dead, but you must still go. Joshua, I'm saying this to you because there's going to be giants there. You know the giants. In fact, 40 years ago, you and Caleb saw the giants. And that for me must probably be, I don't know what I would have done with those 40 years, eh? Look, they were the only two of the original group that stayed, but now they had to walk with all the grumblers until all of them died in the desert. Oh, I don't know. But they walked, but now they're around about 80. They're ready to do this thing, and God says they must go. Then, God says, if we go to the next verses, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. It's a territorial mission, but it's interesting, it's a promise. So God promised us, all of us something. He promised all of us something. Now, he's not a man that he should lie. God will not go back on what he promised you. The only way we can forfeit it, if we lack courage to go and take it. He won't lie. But then God continues, and then God says this, if we can go, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Man. Now, God doesn't send an angel, nor a fax. He meets Joshua personally to have a personal conversation with him. But there's one pivotal thing that I want us to see. Courage comes from the fact that God said to Joshua, I will be with you. That's where our courage lies. We don't walk out of a conversation with God until he hasn't said that to any one of us. God has the last say when we pray. We should not become arrogant and think we should have the last say in prayer. We wait till God stops speaking when we pray. We wait till God says the last thing in our relationship with him. And he said, and that is it. Why do we do it? We do it because we will have confidence in this, that he's with us. He's with me. That is where the confidence lies. We take, it's a courageous mission. And then God says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to them. It's a massive commission. And can I just say this? God hasn't told Joshua, you're the right man for the job. Because when God gives you a mission, you'll never be the right man or woman for the job. I can tell you, I can promise you that. God doesn't look at your CV. He doesn't look at my CV. And secondly, He doesn't look at my disc test or my personality traits. You're a high C, a low D, and a... God doesn't look at that. It's just, He gives us this thing and you've got to do it. And we'll never be equipped to do it. Because He starts the initial equipping and then after that, He gives the equipment. But what needs to happen to get the courage is that we walk out of that commissioning with a sense that just like God was with Moses and Joshua, He's going to be with me. It's a be with me thing. In there lie the peace of our mission and our courage. I can tell you, I'm not the right person for this job here. If people have to look at me, and some of my colleagues have told me, I don't think you're the right person. Am I cross with them? No. Are they wrong? Most probably not. But did God say I must come here? Yes. That's all that I can rest on. Am I angry with my colleagues for saying that? No. If we have to look for the right person, you know, first of all, my English is not so good. I've got the wrong accent. I look more Muslim than Christian. There's a lot of things that doesn't fit me, doesn't suit me. You know? But I'm here. And I want to encourage you because sometimes we think that God will look the right person for the right person to do the job. I don't believe that. Moses never wanted to do it. Abraham had to walk away. Joseph wasn't the right one. Jacob, he prayed, this morning he prayed, was a liar and a schemer. I mean, the list can go on. Let's talk about Peter. Let's talk about Paul, the murderer. There's just something about qualification that courage overtakes. But it comes in the sense of obedience. And then God continues to say to him, only be strong. And now God says it again. It's not like God's stuttering or he has a speech impediment. I mean, when God says something twice, then we've got to think, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. God says, Moses, if you want to continue in your courage, the first thing that you must do, to do according to the law, you must know the word. I must know the word. That's where courage starts. That word that you receive, whether it is the Logos or Rhema word, we need a word. Because that will be the only thing that you can cling on to. Then God says, you shouldn't turn from the left or the right. Then God says this, you will have good success. We would think that God would send in consultants to talk about the strategy and then the plan. But God doesn't do that. God says if you go to Scripture, Joshua, and you do what Scripture demands of you, you will be successful. That's where your success will start. The strategy comes later. And what a strategy. Walk 7 days around a great wall, and then you keep your mouth shut for 7 days. What a strategy. What a strategy to take another nation. That's the best strategy to ever, hey. But that's just the way God does stuff through people that are courageous. It seems stupid, it looks stupid, until the walls start falling down and you choke on your chicken because you laughed at the Israelites, and then you realize, I'm going to die. And then only one courageous person gets saved, a prostitute called Rahab. And her name is in the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus doesn't have a problem to come down the lineage of a prostitute. We're talking about courageous people this morning. Courage. And then let's continue. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This cannot depart from our mouths if we want to be courageous. But you shall meditate on it. In other words, you sit down with it, you think about it, you pray it back to God, you take those words, you internalize it, you memorize it. Sometimes we must do our quiet time. And I'm just wondering, I feel I should help some people this morning, maybe. Just do your quiet time by reading Scripture like a book. Other times, I pray Scripture back to God. Other times, I take a small portion and then I just memorize it. That's my quiet time. I'll take one verse and I'll memorize it for 20 minutes. But that's my quiet time. Other times, I'll do an in-depth study of words. What does this word mean? And why is this word here? Sometimes I read a whole book just to get the context of the book. Why is he saying this? Okay. Sometimes I read to find out who's the guy behind the guy. You know, I would read about John and then, okay, John's actually, he's a great pastor. Sometimes I read Scripture to see somebody's mean side. But it's my quiet time. Sometimes I read Scripture to see somebody's good side. You know, I had a conversation with a guy once. So he said, he doesn't think that having two wives is a problem. Now, he was an unbeliever, it's fine. He said, because David did it and Solomon did it. And I said to him, if you really read Scripture, you would see that their lives were very horrible because of it. It's not like Scripture's lying. I mean, it's tough having 1,000 wives. Stuff. And if you tell your husband to go into another lady and Ishmael's born, you have a problem. But now people read Scripture and they think, oh, it's fine to have to, but they don't see behind what needs to be seen. It's all there in Scripture. It doesn't lie. It makes it clear. We're talking about Scripture, meditating on it. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. God says it again. And then the last one. And then we're going to stop there this morning. Again. A third time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Now. Courageous. God's saying it again. For some of us here, God's not going to give you a word anymore. I'm going to be frank with you as I was praying. God's not going to give you a strategy anymore. You know what you got to do. Do it. I've done it. We hide behind our spirituality because we're scared. I just need this one more word. And I'm so careful. God has spoken already. I'm saying this to you. He has spoken to you already. You know what you've got to do. Do it. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God, and then God just seals it. He starts with, just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He ends it with, I'll be with you. This morning God wants to restore that courage to us and confidence. Go do it. I literally felt God saying, go do what you need to do. Andries came, Andries left. He's in South Africa pastoring now. Yaku came, Yaku left. I'm missing someone in the middle, eh? France came, France left. Now Carlos is here. All of them did a great job. But God continues. And God continues to speak clearly. And we do what we need to do. Now Moses, my servant, isn't there anymore, but I want you to go and don't expect cheerleaders that's going to dance. Preach to us. They're here. Woo-hoo. The Moses clan is here. Woo-hoo. Nobody's going to sing. The Moses clan is here. The Moses clan's got to go somewhere, sit down with people, talk with them, go into uncomfortable meetings, get chucked out of meetings, get laughed at. You know many emails I've written to people? They don't even respond to my emails. Then I have to go to them personally and sit down and say, look, I've sent you emails. Oh, we're so busy. I say, yes, but I'm here now. But I do it because there's a mission and God wants us to be courageous. We do it. Can I end off with one last scripture? Because we find peace in our mission. Peace in our mission. John chapter 21. No, John chapter 20. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father sent me with this mission of peace, I'm sending you with this mission of peace. In other words, God saying, as you go, I'll be with you, but you will have peace in your mission. Can I be honest with you today? There's stuff in my job description that I don't like. I'll never have peace about it. There's certain people that I work with, it doesn't feel like there's peace. There's certain people that I have meetings with, but you don't feel peace. But you know what I do feel peace in? In the fact that I am doing it. The peace is in the mission. The peace is in the mission when we would preach it. It's not in the opposition, but it's in the mission. Where's the mission? The mission's here. The mission should be settled here. The mission should be settled when God says, I will be with you. No greater peace we will find ever in life than that, when you get up from that place and you know that God's with you and He has sent you with a purpose. I'll work if I have to preach the gospel. Serious. Salsa musas or something, you know, I don't know. But there's two things that I won't do. I won't give up on any relationship. I'll fight for relationship. I'll fight until people understands me, and I'll fight to understand other people, because that's part of my mission. And secondly, the more important part, I'll preach the gospel, because the gospel influences this. And I need to be strong and courageous. I need the courage. I need the courage. But I don't give up. Not on people, never on the gospel. The only time I do give up is when people look me in the eye and they say, me, Carlos, we can't walk together. Then I'll do the Abraham. Okay, Lot, left, I'll go right. It's fine. That's fine. Courage. We don't drop people. We don't stay away. We're courageous. We tell them, look here, I'm here, so how's this going to go down? I want to help. I want to be there. I want to challenge. I want to encourage. And then God does the rest. Father, this morning we want you to restore. The courage and the confidence to go into your throne room of grace. To receive grace and mercy in a time of need. And Father, sometimes our personality types, it gets in the way of what you're saying. We tell ourselves, I'm not a good speaker. We tell ourselves, I can't. But God, it's not about that alone. It's just about receiving that word and going out and do as you say, because peace, we will find peace in that mission. It's just about that. We open this week for any conversation that you have, want to have with us. But we want peace in our mission again, God. Peace in our mission. Peace in the way that we conquer, and peace to conquer. In Jesus' name, amen. I just clearly heard God speaking. If you have some sort of book that you write your things down, go back to it. The continent or the area or the borough that you live in, that's not the point. The point is what God said, what you will do. You can do it anywhere. I just want to say, whatever you do, you can do it anywhere. And if you want to talk about it, I'm willing to talk. We'll sit down, we'll talk about it. How are you going to do it? It's not about where you are. It's about taking what God has given you and going to do it. But for that, you're going to need courage. Wherever you go, first world country, third world country, it's all the same. It's tough. But once I have that word and God has spoken, go. I want to encourage you with that. Everything that you need to do something is within you. Right here, right there. Isn't that amazing? Beyond what anybody else says about us, it's actually inside of us. God speaks it. It's a word of life. And He'll connect us with people to do what we need to do. Courage. God bless. If you need prayer, conversation, willing to do it outside, inside, coffee, whatever the case might be. Barry, how's your boy doing? Is he good, huh?
Yeah. Beautiful.